know about that. And then we're going to have some discussion of the committee meetings that took place, brief discussion. We're going to talk about the, then talk about the program that will, and the total increase that are on the agenda today. And the bulk of the meeting time will be devoted to that. We're going to go as long as we need to make sure that all of the directors are comfortable with the information they have and with the materials that have been presented and understanding what's happened at the various public hearings, which will provide the information on which many of us will base our decision. So we'll start in with the business meeting now. I'd like a motion for approval of the board minutes from the July 28th meeting, please.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Those are approved. Then we have some committee reports. Why don't we start with audit? The committee chair is Director.
We reviewed the audit findings, and happy to say that there were no material findings, which is very unusual. But
give a round of applause.
The bad news is you got to do that again next week.
No promises.
So good luck. We also discussed our department and charter update. That was discussed. I believe that was sent out to all the board members. We approved the amendments to our internal audit chart. All in all, it was quite boring for an audit committee, which is the way it's supposed to be.
Thank you, Chair Banks. And we do have a new internal auditor who brought up the changes to the audit charter. That will be part of the consent agenda, but again, all of the members have had an opportunity to review that. And Director Saldana, would you report on your committee, please?
Okay, the Committee on Finance, Administration, and Operations met on August 18th and approved the items included in the consent agenda for today's board meeting. Those items are listed under Finance, Business Systems, Procurement, and Legal. The committee also discussed reports from our financial advisor, AC Advisory, that analyzed and made recommendations regarding our swap restructuring and refunding. The report was comprehensive in its analysis of current market conditions relevant to swap and refunding. The report also made recommendations regarding benchmarks for terminating such swap. Finance staff will continue to monitor the market for potential refunding opportunities. And that report is included was included in the briefing for all the board of directors. We also discussed a memo from our FA Columbia Capital Management. This FA assisted staff in developing financial modeling for the proposed New Illinois capital plan. The FA evaluated the reasonableness of assumptions made regarding the plan financing for the proposed plan. And that memorandum was also included in the briefing of the director. We also discussed the alternative plan that was proposed by Director Morris, which he had sent out on August 16th. We had some questions regarding the viability of the plan. Mike Coates, our CFO, sent out a letter dated August 22nd detailing the analysis of that proposed alternative plan. I think that was sent to all the board of directors. I hope everybody had a chance to look at it. Thank you. That concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you very much. So just the three big items there are the, we had some bonds that had been, the tollway had sold in a previous time that we had some questions about whether we wanted to keep those kinds of bonds out in the market, and we did have a financial report on that. There was a review of the financing of the new proposal, and then the answer to some of the, or discussion to some of the questions that Director Morris has raised, and everybody's got a copy of the letter to send out over that. Any questions?
Madam Chair, I'd like to point out that on the proposal that I had suggested, and Mike, if you could, my phone number is 773-502-0709. Not once did anybody in the staff at the Illinois Tollway Authority, including Mike or his staff, call to ask any questions or to seek any detailed information on what I had proposed. And obviously, I'm working by myself on this as a individual board member, and I find it kind of interesting that we can invest hours and hours of staff time and have consultants look at things, but somehow I guess the phone lines don't run all the way to Lake County. So in the future, if people have questions on something I might suggest, especially if it's something that I believe should be an item for board debate and not necessarily just staff to try to rip things apart and try to stifle debate, I'd appreciate you or anybody else in the staff calling me, and I also do have email that can reach me there.
Well, need to be a personal discussion. I just want to make the point that we have many, many emails in the past between you, me, executive director, and the staff, and we'd be happy to provide to you again with an answer to your questions. And you and I met a week ago Friday and had a 2-hour or 3-hour discussion.
There was never an email or a question on the proposal I made from anybody on the staff, including Mike, who made a report to the Finance Committee. There were a lot of emails from me and questions answered on the overall proposal that was made, and I feel that's part of my job is diligence.
Well, I think you have been very diligent about raising questions, and I hope we answered all of those questions. It may not have been in the format you wanted. I feel as if the other directors have all seen the analysis and understand your proposal. Okay, so let's not, this is not the end of that discussion. We'll move to the consent agenda then. Again, this will go very quickly. We'll start with the finance 4.1, number one. May I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That's approved. Business systems 4.2, both 1 and 2. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That's approved. Then we'll go to procurement 4.3. We'll do 1 through 5.
Motion to approve. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. We'll do 4.4. Engineering. We'll do 1 through 3. We have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. 4.5. Legal. We'll do 1 through 4.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. That's approved. And then 4.6, which is the resolution to amend the internal audit charter.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That passes as well. Thank you. Okay. So now we'll go back and start with the discussion of the capital plan. So we'll start with the Executive Director, Christy LaFleur. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we get into the details of the meeting here, I just wanted to take a moment to thank a couple of our Tollway employees. We had a hearing on Tuesday night in Kane County, and as many of you have now heard, we had an individual who actually had some health issues at the hearing and passed out, and the person's heart actually stopped beating. They've given their testimony already, but ultimately it was, of course, quite alarming for everyone. And I just wanted to thank certainly the members and staff and troopers of District 15, Master Sergeant Morales, who was there, Trooper McBrenner, I'm going to slaughter that name, I'm so sorry. Okay, good, thank you. And our own Joelle McGinnis was actually the one who charged up the defibrillator machine and really, frankly, saved a man's life. He's still in the hospital undergoing testing, but he is alive today because of their quick action, and I just wanted to thank them for that. And I know Captain Jesternick has a few words he'd like to say too, but first, thank you very much.
I'd like to take a few minutes to recognize Master Sergeant Juan Morales, Trooper Kevin McGrenera, and Ms. Joelle McGinnis for their prompt actions that saved a life. While attending the tollway hearing on Tuesday night in Montgomery, Illinois, they observed a citizen collapse. Trooper McGrenera initially observed the subject was unconscious with rapid but shallow breathing. The subject then stopped breathing and lost his pulse. Master Sergeant Morales and other bystanders immediately began giving CPR while Trooper McGrenner ran to his squad car to get his tollway issued automated external defibrillator, also known as an AED. Simultaneously, Ms. Joelle McGinnis, being a good observer, noted that she saw an AED in the facility. She ran to get the AED that was in the facility. She returned with the AED and assisted other responders in setting it up. The AED was used to shock the patient once, just as the ambulance crew arrived on the scene. We were told the patient went into cardiac arrest again while in the ambulance. However, the patient is resting comfortably at a local hospital. Hospital staff advised us if it weren't for their prompt actions of these heroes, using the CPR and using the AED, the patient's outcome would probably have been much different. Juan, Kevin, Joelle,
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much again from all of us. We appreciate your efforts and your the fact that you were there obviously saved lives. So it was great. Thank you. I wanted to introduce Randy Blankenhorn, who's here from CMAP. CMAP attended public hearings that we had throughout the region. As you know, we had 15 public hearings on our capital plan and our proposal, and Randy and his staff attended many of those and is here to provide feedback on what they heard at the hearings and an overview of the feedback. Okay.
Thank you, Christy. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm not going to go through this level of detail with you. I think that my job is to give a little bit of an overview of what we heard. We had senior staff at all the meetings inside CMAP's region, inside the seven counties of the tollway service area. And I want to start by saying there was significant interest in this proposal. Almost 2,000 people in attendance, over 1,000 online comments. There was certainly a lot of interest in what the tollway was proposing, how to get it done, and what it meant for this region, both economically and from a transportation perspective. These are going to be high-level comments. Certainly, there were a number of individual comments that would be quite different, but I'm trying to give you our sense of what we heard over the last week or so. First is that there's a significant need to invest in our transportation system. Most people understood that the transportation system is important for our economy, it's important for mobility in this region, and if we need to invest in that more than we have in the past, and that there needs to be that investment here in northeastern Illinois. Secondly, I think that people understand that user fees support tollway investments. If we get anything out of this, I hope that we get beyond the fact that the tollways are supposed to be free at some point in time. Investments in infrastructure are not free, and we need to invest in them through tolling, which is our preferred method at CMAP, through user fees, and I think that most people understand that that's how that has to occur. People understood that transportation investment grows the economy and creates jobs, that it drives what we do here, and that it's important. It's an important part of how we create economic activity, particularly in northeastern Illinois. I think that they understood that state and federal funds are not going to be available as they were in the past to help us solve our problems, that we need to tax ourselves, so to speak, if we want to use it that way. And that we can't depend on state and federal funds to always come in and fix our transportation issues. I think that there are some negatives that people talked about. One is that there's impact on our commuters, and I think that we have to recognize that toll increase is something that nobody necessarily wants to talk about, and it has impacts on our day-to-day drivers, and we have to take that into consideration. I think that there was a concern, particularly with low-income residents, about how this impacts the availability of job opportunities to them. If it costs more to travel, what does that mean for their choices for where they work? I think that there was a bit of concern about what is the speed of the decision. Does this decision need to be made today? And I think that's a decision that you all have to take under consideration. I think that mostly on the not supportive side, we heard about the question of the timing. Is this the right time given where we are in this economy? Is there a different way to think about this? Not that there isn't a need to do this program. There's not a need to invest in our infrastructure. But what is the timing of that and how does that work? I think that there was significant local elected official support, which I think is important. It's overwhelming, I would say, local elected official support for this program. And I think that there was significant interest in the tollway and a number of their proposals talking about how to integrate public transit into the roadway activities. And I think that's something that a lot of people in this region wanted to see, is how do we move people and goods, not how do we just build a highway and how do we just improve a highway? How do we think of it from that bigger and bolder way? From CMAP's point of view, transportation drives the economy of this region. It's why we exist. It's what, since this region grew up around, it is our global economic advantage, and we have to invest in it. We have to invest in the existing system, and this program does that. Over $8 billion in modernizing our existing system, which we think is so important. It focuses our investments. In the past, we have had dozens of projects, and the CMAP GoTo 2040 plan talks about how we focus those investments. This plan does that, talking about what we need to build to create jobs, to create economic opportunity, and to move people and goods more efficiently. I think as importantly, it talks about how we invest in ourselves. This region needs to do that. We need to think about how we invest in the future of this region. If we wait for state and federal governments to solve our problems for us, we are going to be waiting a long time. And I think this is a good step in the transportation side of how we invest in ourselves, how we think about user fees as a way to make those investments. This is a tough decision for your board, and we fully understand and respect that. No one wants to pay more for anything, whether it's gasoline or a gallon of milk or tolls. But I think that we have to make those tough decisions, and now is the time to make tough decisions. How you go about that, what the financing is up for this board to decide. Our major concern is that we don't partially fund the program. How you finance it over time, how you finance it immediately, that's your call. But to leave projects half done, to have an Elgin O'Hare expressway that goes to neither Elgin nor O'Hare is not what we want as a part of this program. And we really need to think about that funding long term and how we get the projects that are done that really are an important part of this future. So I think that overall, we would say that there is general support for what you're trying to do with this plan. There's general understanding of the need to invest in our infrastructure, both from a mobility point of view and from an economic development and jobs point of view, and that you need to be thoughtful about how you implement that plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Director Blankenhorn from the board members? Thank you.
We really
appreciate having your staff go to all of these hearings. We know that a lot of time.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, just a brief overview of our proposed capital plan and the financing scenario or passenger vehicle toll increase proposal. Mike Kelch, you all have seen this presentation or longer forms of it probably before, but we thought it was worth it to do an overview now for the discussion. Mike?
Thank you, Christy. Good morning, everyone.
I'm sorry, Mike Kelch is our Chief of Finance. I apologize.
And he really likes using the machine and
moving the slide. Correct. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As Christy mentioned today, I'd like to take a few minutes to briefly review the capital plan proposal that is before the board today. This capital plan has been developed after long and careful consideration and subsequent to an open and inclusive planning process. For more than a year, OE directors and staff have engaged numerous stakeholders, coordinated with state and local transportation agencies, considered the priorities of regional planning organizations, and invited public review and comment throughout the process. By state statute, the tollway is required to produce a long-term capital plan this year. The Move Illinois plan is a 15-year, $12.1 billion capital plan that begins in 2012 and runs through 2015. The Tollways Board of Directors has made it clear that the first priority of the plan is to address the needs of the existing system. Nearly 70% of the investments included in this proposal are to address reconstruction, rehabilitation, business systems, technological needs, and other capital needs of the existing system. At the top of that list is the reconstruction and widening of the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. This plan commits $2.3 billion for the Jane Addams Memorial Tollway. In addition, the plan funds reconstruction of the central portion of the Tri-State Tollway, as well as the Eden Spur, and makes other investments to preserve that roadway at a cost of $2.1 billion. The Move Illinois plan also includes $400 million for preserving the Reagan Memorial Tollway and $500 million for preserving the Veterans Memorial Tollway. There is $500 million for reconstructing and rehabilitating maintenance facilities throughout the system, and $2.4 billion for bridges, interchanges, ramps, electronic tolling, business systems, safety repairs, and other capital investments which support the maintenance and operations of our facilities. The tollway is also studied, reviewed, and carefully considered input from stakeholders with respect to new projects. The new projects included the Move Illinois plan total $3.8 billion. The plan commits $3.1 billion toward construction of the Elgin O'Hare Extension and West Bypass Project, and $604 million for the Interstate 294 and Interstate 57 interchange project.
Mike, can you just point on there for those two, the Elgin O'Hare Bypass and also the interchange? The blue one,
the one is yellow.
This plan also includes $126 million for planning and environmental studies, including funds for the Illinois Route 53 corridor and the Ileana Expressway. In total, this plan includes $12.1 billion of capital investments during the next 15 years, addressing the needs of the existing system at $8.3 billion, as well as high priority new projects, the interchange at 294-57, Elgin O'Hare West Bypass, and the planning funds. Project schedules and scope for this program reflect our goal of delivering the best value to our customers over the long term. Goals of improved mobility and congestion relief, positive economic and environmental impacts, and multiple other factors were important considerations. Careful consideration was also given to the financing proposal. The financial proposal for this plan is fiscally responsible, it's considerate of the impact on our customers, and it's sustainable over the long term. The proposal is financed by tollway revenue, including a proposed increase on passenger vehicle tolls.
About 75% of tollway customers, passenger vehicle drivers paying with IPASS, pay the same toll rates paid in 1983. This financing plan proposes that passenger vehicles with IPASS pay an additional 35 cents at a typical mainline plaza, meaning that the typical mainline plaza toll would go from 40 cents to 75 cents per transaction, beginning January 1 of 2012. Similar percentage increases would be applied to other plazas throughout the system at ramps and on the mainline, and cash payers would continue to pay double the rate that IPASS customers pay. The revenue raised by this increase would total $260 million in 2012. And that revenue would grow to $370 million by 2026. When factoring in projected revenue from the Elgin O'Hare, new revenues for the program would total $470 million by 2026. This new revenue, coupled with the commercial vehicle increase approved in 2008 that will begin phasing in 2015, will help fund the debt service on $4.8 billion of new bonds and provide $7.3 billion for pay-as-you-go capital funding. The revenue would also fund required deposits to the debt service reserve account and could provide some funding for an increase in the tollway's operating reserve. Considering the extended period over which these bonds will be issued and considering the recent volatility in the capital markets, we have taken relatively conservative approach to our financing costs, assuming an average cost of borrowing of 6% for the debt included in this plan. This slide shows the proposed rates for passenger cars by Mainline Plaza. The top line is the current rate of 40 cents. For the typical plaza, there are 11 of 22 plazas charge that rate currently. As you could see, it would go to 75 cents. Correspondingly, where the plazas are farther apart, or the roadways were more recently built, and the current rates are higher. There are currently corresponding similar percentage increases for those plazas. And finally, unfortunately, this is not likely visible from your seats, but I'll walk you through what's in this cash flow pro forma. This cash flow pro forma provides an estimated view of cash flow for the tollway's operations, debt service, and capital needs through the year 2026. Operating costs in this model are assumed to increase 4% per year, which is a slower rate of growth than the past decade, but we believe manageable in light of our commitment to continue to control costs and seek out efficiencies. Debt service, including payments for bonds issued to finance the current CERP, will increase to a total of $620 million. But we will be maintaining our goal of 2x coverage, which is important to preserving our strong credit rating and achieving the lowest cost of borrowing. Cash balances are maintained at or above minimum levels necessary to accommodate the program, and a balance of $250 million is available at the end of the program in 2026 to provide a modest reserve for future needs. I believe this financing plan is fiscally responsible, it's sustainable, it's balanced between debt and pay-as-you-go, and it's designed to be most efficient for our customers over the long term. That's it. Thank you.
Funds obviously all of our operations, the people who are out plowing the snow, maintaining the system, you know, all of the people who are involved in toll collection, the state police who patrol our system and keep our drivers safe. We were able to cut the operating budget this year for the first time in our agency's history. We will, of course, continue to strive for cuts or efficiencies and try to keep a lid on operating expense growth. But ultimately, as Mike indicated, we did assume some rate of growth because it's obviously unrealistic to assume that over a 15-year period you wouldn't have some rate of growth, and then of course there are many factors which are outside of our control that impact our operating budget, the cost of fuel, the cost of salt, you know, increasing cost of health care, which of course we've tried to control with some recent actions on employee contributions to health care, et cetera, pension contributions. Those things to some extent also determine that rate of growth, but just as a reminder.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. In light of that, the fact is that you, I think, might assume that 4% annual operational growth. I think it's important for the board to recognize that we've had 1 year of austerity where we did not raise our budget, and that's good news. Building in a 4% increase in operational and maintenance costs forever and ever, amen, could be read as a surrender to the inevitable that we're going to allow our costs and operations to increase greater than the rate of inflation. And I do not think that is my goal nor the goal of this board. And so there is an assumption here that I hope all of us understand our job is just beginning. From an operational perspective, we need to continue to trim the budget, to control expenses, and to try to hold that to 2% or less, or the rate of inflation or less. And I'm a little troubled that we just take an assumption and run it out 4%, and it could easily come back to haunt us. So I just want to make sure we all understand that our job is not done on that end, and we need to still tighten the screws here to make sure we run operationally efficient. And this large assumption, in essence, is not a surrender, at least on my part, and I would hope I'm not on the rest of the board's part.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I think we all agree with that. What we tried to do in the plan, I think, is to be responsible about thinking about what the a possible outcome would be and not be too become conservative and then find ourselves without the money to support the operation. But I think you're absolutely right. We do need to continue to watch that. Did you have another question? Okay. Anything else? Okay. We have some people here who have asked to make public comment at all of our board members. We have an open public comment period. We don't usually get a lot of people coming, but today we seem to have attracted some people, so we're glad to have you here. I think I have about 15 names. We would really appreciate it if you would keep your comments down to 2 or 3 minutes. We would always take written comments from people if you have more than that you'd want to submit to the board. And if for some reason somebody who precedes you has already made the points that you would have liked to have made, if you'd like to surrender your time to the next speaker, that's fine. I will call 3 names and we'll do those, and then before the last speaker, I'll call up 3 more. If you could introduce yourself and where you're from, that would be helpful too. We have Greg Butts, and yes. Then Jack Ronan and Matt Hart. Yes, please, if you don't mind going up to the front.
Hi, I want to thank the board for allowing me to speak today. I'm Greg Butts. I'm a vendor that has done work with the tollway. I own Butts Consulting Firm, and we're a small, privately held auditing firm. We're certified as minority status by the CMS, Special Management System. We did a test audit, and we feel at Butts Consulting Services that we'd be able to save the tollway billions of dollars through some of our analysis. The reason why I'm here today is to have the opportunity to do that. All our fees are generated on contingency, so there's no cost to the tolling. We've done other Fortune 100 companies, and we have the expertise that we think there's some operational procedures that could be changed to enhance the tollway's revenue. Also, for an example, we did a small project, and we went back to 04 on credits that, you know, your staff never would have found. And the reason why we have the ability to do this, it's not a computer-generated process. It's all about my staff. It's all about intellectual properties that make us unique. And I'm here today for the board to hopefully that I can get an extension or another project so I can save the tollway some more money. We already generated money for the tollway already. And if the tollway is looking for more money right now, why don't you keep the money instead of having more money and then waste the money? Then that's the sum of the things that we can do at Butts Consulting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butts. We appreciate it. Mr. Ronan?
My name is Jack Ronan. I live in Berkeley, Illinois, at a T intersection in a residential neighborhood where I have municipal police crisscrossing my house about every 5 minutes, 24 hours a day. One of the reasons I'm in favor, very much in favor, my reason number 8, is because I live in a Brita filter. The Brita filter is our municipal police, which do a magnificent job of preventing crime, but it's sometimes too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing. One of the pleasures of the improvements on the tollway is night driving. When you're on the tollway at night, and if you're obeying all the rules and your car's in good condition, lights and so forth, nobody bothers you. And so in an era where we have enormous coverage of sometimes overly aggressive radar guns and so forth at night and various other forms of surveillance, it is a tremendous relief to be able to get on the tollway, drive responsibly, and in a thoughtful way, and avoid some of these red light camera intersections and other sources of tension that exist in modern urban America. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Matt Hart, and I'm the Executive Director of the Illinois Trucking Association, and once again, I want to thank the Tollway Board for allowing us to make